It's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday here in beautiful Brevard County. You are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And we want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you are in Central Brevard County, or not Central Brevard County, anywhere in Brevard County, they go all the way from like Barefoot Bay all the way up to the Scottsmore Mims area, from the coast all the way inland. No matter what type of unit that you have, if it's electrical problem, if it's an AC problem, if you just want to make sure that the house is ready to generate heat for you, because you know that we're going to get one or two or three days of cold weather, this year, and you want to be ready for it, give them a call, 321-632-9538. They are wonderful folks. They love Jesus. They have a team of qualified personnel that travel anywhere throughout the county to make sure that needs are taken care of. If you've had an AC or heating company or an electrician and they either A, weren't available, or B, they didn't treat you well, or C, they didn't treat you in an upright manner, I want to encourage you to give the folks at Wyrick Air a call, 321-632-9538. And I've had them do work at my house. It passed inspection. I encourage you, if it's, you know, one of the things that I had used them for was changing out electrical panels. And so if you have one of those older panels, give them a call. They can come out and they can get you fixed up and get you up to modern standards. That's not a luxury. That's a necessity. You know, you don't want electrical fires going on in your house. So call the professionals and get them out there to take care of your electrical needs. Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. So we're going to go back to the Word of God, but I want to invite you out to our Wednesday night Bible study. Right now we are going through a book that's written by one of our executive officers out of Springfield, Missouri. Her name is Donna Barrett. It's a book called Leveling the Praying Field, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. You know, it's a spin off Leveling the Playing Field, but we're interested in the praying field. And so we're going through that book. And if you would like to come out and be a part of it, we started that last Wednesday night. So you're still early on or early in on the process. And so we want to welcome you out to that. That'll be tonight at 7 o'clock. We have youth that meet at 7 p.m. as well. And I want to thank my daughter Robin, who heads up that ministry, and all of her team there that love on a bunch of people and a bunch of kids that don't necessarily come to our church on Sunday morning, but they're on Sunday night. They're hearing the Word of God, and she's sowing seed into their lives that is going to impact them, not just now, but in the days ahead. So that'll be tonight at 7 o'clock. So let's go back to Isaiah 53. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll pick up where we left off on yesterday's program. Verse number 1 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Excuse me. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So, today is, I want to pick up in verse number 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We are looking at the suffering servant here in Isaiah chapter 53. We absolutely love the fact and proclaim the fact that Jesus shed his blood so that our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our rebellion, all of that could be forgiven, atoned for, covered up, washed away, and us restored to a position of righteousness through the work of Jesus Christ. I don't want to ignore the spiritual reality. It is an absolute truth. It is the most important truth. I also realize that he was received the stripes upon his back and provided our healing for that. I am a big time believer in healing. I proclaim healing. I don't understand everything there is to know about healing, but I pray for people's bodies to be made whole. I believe that that is a provision of the atonement, and everybody sooner or later is going to need healing in their body. I believe that Jesus wants us equipped, strengthened, made whole so that we can do the work of the ministry. I don't think he is looking for us to be burdened while trying to do the work of the ministry. I believe that he wants us to be enhanced. I believe that our testimony needs to be current, that it needs to be vibrant, that it needs to testify to the risen Savior. But like I say, I don't understand everything that there is to know about healing. I haven't seen 100% healing rate as I've been proclaiming healing all these many generations, decades. But I have seen people miraculously healed. So I'm very thankful for his healing. Right now I want to talk to you about something that is kind of on the obscure side, hidden side, not talked about side, really not brought out into the open very much, and that is that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I want to talk to you today about the emotional aspects, the mental aspects of our relationship with God. He wants to renew our mind. He wants to heal our hurts and our pains. It's not just about denying their existence. That's not going to cut it. He wants to come in and resolve those issues. I believe that Jesus is not only the author, but he is the finisher, the perfecter. He who begins a good work in us is going to continue at that good work until he brings it to a complete state of maturity. That's the reality. And so today I don't want you to look at the griefs that you are facing, the sorrows, the heartaches of life, the pain and the suffering of it, and think that that is an eternal sentence in your life. I want you to see that Jesus has come as the one who is to bear that, who is to carry that. I talked to someone and I was, it was at a restaurant. And I was described. They were talking about nursery rhymes, and my nursery rhyme story is that at 44, I was encouraged to go have a stress test. So I went and had a stress test while I was in there getting. This was a number of years ago. While I was in there getting this stress test, there was the technician who was getting me all wired up. They were putting the leads on my chest and all of that. This young lady, there were two of them in there, started humming a nursery rhyme. And I said, you know, do you have kids? And she said, yes. And she said, why do you ask? And I said, well, because you're humming a nursery rhyme. I've never heard anybody hum a nursery rhyme whenever they were just going out their work. So I figured you must had kids and that you sing nursery rhymes to them. The other technician that was in there gave her a death stare that I didn't understand at the time. It was like, stop it. You know, that was what it's saying. It is like, stop it before, you know, 5 minutes ago. Don't stop it now. Stop it 5 minutes ago. So I go home that night, and my wife said, well, what nursery rhyme was it? And I said, oh, I don't know. It went something like this. She said, honey, she was humming this old man. And it was like, what? I'm not old. I'm just, you know, in my early to mid-40s. You know, but to this young lady, I was old. Well, to make a long story longer, I got the test results back, and the doctor said, look, you don't have a heart problem. You've got a stress problem. I realized that I was carrying some things that I shouldn't have been carrying. They weren't my responsibility to be carrying. There's always situations rising in the church. What had gone on leading up to that was there had been a death in the family. You know, it wasn't, you know, my wife or kids, but it was in the family, and it was not very, you didn't have to get very far into the extended family to find out just how real that was. Excuse me a moment. And so we were carrying around this sorrow and this heartache. I had another family member that they called and they said, you know, this family member is not going to survive. They're getting ready to die. And so I hopped on a plane and I headed out there. While I was out there, there was a situation that arose with someone in the church. And, I had, it demanded my attention. And so I was, I was carrying around all of this stuff, and I realized that I was carrying something that I wasn't meant to carry. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Jesus. He is the lover of your soul. He cares for you. And today, I want you to avail yourself of this tremendous offer that Jesus made available, and that is that he wants to carry your griefs. He wants to carry your sorrow. Here's what I discovered during that season, and that was that if I carried things that I was not meant to carry by God, that it was going to place stress in other areas of my life, whether it is stress financially or emotionally or physically, it was going to have adverse consequences in other areas of my life because I was carrying something I wasn't designed to carry. I realized that I needed to make some adjustments in my life. And so I not wanting to have negative health situations in my life, I said, you know what, God, I need to quite simply come into your presence and cast my cares upon you because I know that you care for me. You care about the situations that I'm going through. Now, many times when we are hurting, we want to act like a child who is, when brought into the presence of the mother, and the mother says, well, show me where it hurts. No, we get very defensive and we want to protect it from anybody seeing it, not knowing that if we just continue to shelter it, if we don't bring and expose that area to the person who can bring healing to the situation, then we'll never get the healing. I want you to know today that you can trust Jesus, not just with your eternity. You can trust Jesus not only with your spiritual condition. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your physical needs. And you can trust him with your emotional needs as well. It's not something we're just encouraged to do. It is what he came to do. It is his purpose. You can trust him. You can trust him. And he will carry those situations to bring redemption to your life and to my life. You know what happened? I still remind myself of that. If ever I get into a situation where I feel overwhelmed, I say, you know what? I just need to go and I need to sit at the feet of Jesus, where I remind myself in mentally, physically, spiritually, that he is the one who's designed to carry this stuff. Now, I believe that many of the things that we are experiencing stress-wise in America is because the government is doing the things that it wasn't designed to do. It's trying to set the church aside. The church is the one who has been anointed by God to be able to resolve the hurts of society. We need to be able to tell people, hey, you don't have a financial problem. You have a Savior problem. You need Jesus to come into your life and to bring correction, not as a negative thing, as a positive thing. You need Jesus to bring correction into your life. That's what he does. That's what he does. Surely, it's not a matter of if. It is a verily, verily. It is something that we can confidently proclaim to you today, that you are not meant to walk around filled with heartache and disappointment and sorrow. You are meant to walk around with a confidence that Jesus is carrying all of the problems that you and I have in our life. He will bear that. Whether it's a physical affliction or a spiritual condition or an emotional condition or a financial or a relational, let Jesus bear that burden. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is where we see that Jesus did not go to the cross because of his sin. He went to the cross because of our sin. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, areas where we had wandered away from where we were supposed to be and ended up in enemy territory. We missed the mark. We trespassed. We violated the law. And we needed a sacrifice. I need to help you to understand and help me to understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about this from an Old Testament concept where we come from it from a very modern concept. There's a huge difference. You know, we are so used to mercy in our life that we just think it is a natural, take it for granted, you know, this is going to make my life better, so naturally somebody should step up to the plate and do this. We are of the mindset that sin is no big deal. But I want to take you back to help give you the opposite perspective and the balanced, and bring some balanced biblical instruction to this. When Isaiah prophesied this to the children of Israel, everybody knew that sin would cut you off from God. Sin violated the relationship with God. They understood that there had to be a sacrifice, that someone, something, if it was a bull or a goat or a ram or a dove or whatever, somebody was going to pay the price. Life was going to be sacrificed in order to wash away that sin so that you could get right back into relationship and, you know, knowing that next year you were going to be back at the same place doing the same thing all over again because of unintentional sin. So Old Testament, they come and they say, some poor animal is going to give its life so that I can have a temporary reprieve and put God back on the throne of my life. Here in Isaiah 53, Isaiah prophesies that it's not going to be an animal that brings permanent resolution, but it would be Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who once and for all was going to die upon a cross so that our transgressions and trespasses and forgiveness could be made available to us. Sin is not a trivial matter. There are so many areas of society where people are boasting of their sin, proudly wearing it on full display, instead of realizing the gravity of the situation, the seriousness of it, that transgression is not a flippant matter. It's eternally serious. It needs to be dealt with, and the only person who could adequately deal with that was Jesus. So it's not legalistic the way that it was in the Old Testament. It's not trivial like we look at it in the modern times. We need to be fully cognizant that Jesus on the cross was there not because he did anything wrong, but because I did. and he went to the cross to enable me and to enable you not to be in bondage to those trespasses ever again. Have you ever gone across those devices that are embedded in the ground that will let you go out, but when you drive your car over those things, it says, whatever you do, don't back up. Don't back up. Because if you back up, it's going to do tremendous damage to your car. And what it's designed to do, it's designed to keep people from availing themselves of free parking in many places, you know, where you're not going to go out the exit and or not going to go in the exit and get to park for free. You parked, you've got to pay to get out. Jesus paid the price for us to get out of our life of sin. But it's a very expensive price. It was not trivial. But he does say this, don't be like the dog that returns to its vomit. Don't go back. Going back into sin, you know, Hebrews talks about that is a it's something that we shouldn't do because it tramples the Son of God underfoot. It trivializes, it makes a mockery of the sacrifice that he made. We need to realize there's no, when I ask Jesus to come into my heart, there's no desire to go back. There's no longing to go back. There's only a desire to go forward knowing that he made the way of escape for us because he came to deliver us from the bondage of sin and transgression. I don't know about you, but that's a very, very liberating aspect of life. I don't have to be in bondage to sin ever again. Why would I want to go back to the thing that tried to destroy me? I'm grateful. I'm grateful that Jesus made a way of escape. He didn't go there because he was a sinner. He didn't go to the cross because he was in rebellion. He went to the cross because we were. He didn't pay his own price. He paid for our sin. And I will tell you this. It was the Father that we offended. We don't owe the devil anything. The devil is a thief and a liar. But I tell you, I needed forgiveness so I could be reconciled to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to call on him today. You will find he is more than willing to forgive our sins. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Swallow me, I think I'll stop. rest here a while. And this is all that I can say.